Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. What a difference a week makes. It was so cold last week, the week before, and last Sunday. I'd like to start off and see if there are any first-time visitors before we get to the general announcement.
Look, I don't see any that I recognize.
Any general announcements?
Next Sunday morning, next Sunday, all day, we have at the 8 o'clock service, Bethel University, formerly Bethel College's award-winning, first place award-winning quartet. They were at Louisville this summer and they took first place honors there. They will be with us at 8 o'clock. They will be with us at 10:15. They will also be with us at 2 o'clock for a concert. That's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We encourage you to encourage people, invite people to be here. The times that the Bethel Renaissance group, the 50-member traveling group, have been with us, people have been, I guess you would say, bowled over, are really blessed. But we're getting the cream of the crop this time with the quartet. I think it'll be 7 people here. How you get 7 to be a quartet, I'm not sure, but I thought it, that's what they said. But we will enjoy that all next Sunday afternoon. Now, at right after the 10:15 worship, about 11:45, I guess, the Grace team will serve a soup lunch, and they're trying to raise a few funds for the ministry and the Grace Team ministry, and we don't know what they're going to do concerning Haiti, all that out in the future, but they're going to have a soup lunch next Sunday for right after church 10:15 service, so we encourage you to stay and participate there and just make a donation. So those are the general announcements this morning. I have one serious prayer concern, but I'll share that in a moment.
Are there any others?
Patrick has got a sore throat and is not in here this morning, but we start back Wednesday night at this Wednesday, 6 o'clock for supper. It'll be ham chowder, and we just look forward to that. And then our lesson will be concerning comparing Christianity this week with Islam. So we've been bombarded with what is Islam, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the program this week will be a comparison of Christianity and Islam. And we'll have 3 weeks of comparing Christianity with other religions and then have a student to bring the message and then 3 more weeks and the student to bring the message, I believe, the way we've worked it out. So we're going to involve the young people in the speaking this semester also.
Okay, prayer or praise request?
One more. Linda Moses and Wendell's great grandbaby died, I think it was Thursday. It was the SIDS death. And they're at Atlanta today for a memorial service. And if you remember, we prayed for their daughter's stepdaughter, and she had one child and overcame cancer, or cancer's in remission. This is her second child, and 6 months old, and passed away on Thursday, and the family is devastated. So Wendell and Linda went down just to be with them and participate in service today.
Terry. Okay. Are there any others?
Please. He's 19. He's going to have bad surgery this week.
Okay. Brett. What's his last name?
Lanny. Oh,
okay. Brett Lanny. Elizabeth. Oh, hold on just a second. Go ahead, Melanie.
My mom, Ellen Walker, has been on the prayer list a number of times, and she will turn 89 in March. She's the last couple of days not been herself and has fallen numerous times, and now is running fever, so we don't know whether it's medication, stroke, or the flu. But keep her and my brother as he ministers to her.
Okay. Mike?
My brother Butcher, his wife Betty, is on her way home from Florida. Her father and grandmother live down there, and she went down there to take care of them. So I just asked you to pray for her on the way to Long Tree.
Okay.
So I asked you to pray for her. And then I have one that you might think is silly, but I pray that the University of Tennessee is found one of the best put together.
We're not going to go into that. Are there any others? Heather? Yes, the people in Haiti.
Absolutely.
Are there any others? Sarah? Okay. Are there...
Behind you. Spine tested sometime today, I think.
Okay.
So we'll take it there. And then also, to be her mother, who is having a surgery Tuesday, pretty serious surgery. Her mother's name is Sarah.
Okay.
So we pray that goes well.
Are there any others? I don't want to miss anybody. If there are no others, let's pause for a moment while we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. If you will please stand for our call to worship. And it is responsive and in your bulletin. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great sea, O Lord. Preserve both man and beast.
How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings.
They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink for your river of delight.
For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light.
On the screen...
Thank you.
Lord our God, we are here to worship. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would so move in us that we could truly worship you, and as your word calls for us to worship you in truth and in spirit. Lord, enable us to, for a few moments that we are gathered here, to forget the things of the world and center on you. And Lord, as we center on you, we know that according to your word, we'll be prepared to go back into the world to be better ministers. You've called us to seek your kingdom first. Seek you. And then these things will be taken care of, fall into place when we put you at the center of our lives. So let that happen in these moments together right here, Lord. Lord, thou art worthy of all that we can offer. We bow down before you. We are your humble people. Bless us with your presence and with the ability, the privilege of just expressing your worth in our lives and through the world. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated.
It's now time to make our statement of faith. You can find the Apostles' Creed on the screen behind or on page 716 in your hymnal. And it is in unison. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Confession. Let us journey to the place where the Christ child awaits us, where the light of God shines brightly. In our prayer of confession, if you would like to repeat along with me in unison. O God, by the leading of the star, your only Son was made known to us, and yet we confess that we have preferred darkness to light, our own plans and purposes to your guidance and direction, our own pride and your will to power and glory. Forgive us, Lord. Grant us the wisdom to behold the radiance that shines upon us and grace to walk in the light of your love. words of assurance. You guide us into life, light, and love. God of wonder, you invite us to experience new birth. May the glory of Jesus Christ shine in the darkest places of our lives, and may we receive the gift of salvation that is your desire for us. Amen. And you can turn now to page 504 in your hymnal. Sentence this morning is from Psalms 96. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. If the ushers will please come forward. Children's Church, I think, with Miss Heather.
Good morning. Come on, girls, and have a seat. Well, y'all, this past week, starting with last Sunday, I've had one of those weeks. You ever had a week when, or maybe you've had a month or you've had a year where things just don't go exactly like you meant for them to go? All the years that I was working, I was really into planning and organizing, and I knew exactly every day what I was going to get done. You know, I had this calendar that I kept, and it was, you know, I was just right on target at work, everything, you know, exactly what I was going to accomplish. Well, I've tried to continue that now that I'm at home, and guess what? It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work out that way. Things go haywire every day, and that's okay. I started thinking about, you know, in James chapter 1, it tells us, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Well, I find that to be true. That is very true. You know, last week we got up, we were getting ready, and we had a house full of people, and we were all trying to get ready, and guess what? We didn't have any water. So guess what? Nobody could get a shower, and you all would not have wanted all of us to come. We did not look very good, or probably didn't smell very good either. I don't know. But we didn't. I know we didn't look very good. So that was the first thing that happened Sunday, was, you know, the no water, and we couldn't come to church. So, I always hate it when I miss church. And then I had sick, whiny little grandchildren this week that didn't feel very good. And, I also have their day planned of what I'm going to do with them, and sometimes that doesn't work out. And just like at Mother's Day Out, Miss Jennifer can attest to that, but sometimes the day just doesn't go quite like you plan it, does it? And I had four dogs in the house, and you know, that was interesting because they were not used to each other, and they needed to go out to the bathroom, and one of them trying to learn to go to the bathroom outside instead of inside, and that's fun. But just a lot of different things, and I started thinking about it though. All of this is so important that we don't just get wrapped up in the busyness and get confused about what we're doing, because we have such a purpose in every day. And every day is to represent our Lord and Savior and to teach what we know and what we've learned and what He's teaching us, and not to forget that in the busyness of life, and life is busy. So let's remember that everything that we do, regardless of how stressful it is or how confusing it is or how it wasn't planned on your calendar for that day, that you approach it with a sense of joy. We want to count it all joy and enjoy every moment because our Lord and Savior, look what He did for us. And that's the great news that we have to share. Let's go ahead and sing with this melody.
This is from one of my favorite verses. I think it's Psalm 46:10. But the words are simply, "Be still." And know that I am God. And sometimes we have to stop all that busyness and be still and get our alignment right vertically. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Three times. Sing out if you know it.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from John 3, 1 through 17. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows whenever it pleases. You hear its sounds, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How often you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please turn to number 505 in the hymnal. Love His Name. We'll sing verse 183. Thank you.
thank you all. Thank you especially the musicians and Miss Andrea, Miss Deborah. Regeneration. Does that name ring a bell? Does new birth, does that say anything to you? Regeneration. Regeneration. Guy named William Sleeper wrote some words a number of years ago. He died in 1904. I'm not sure when he wrote these words. And then George Stebbins set them to music. He died in 1945, according to the figures that I have. He wrote a song about Nicodemus and Jesus. Said a ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, "Ye must be born again. Ye children of men, attend to the word so solemnly uttered by Jesus the Lord. And let not this message to you be in vain. You must be born again. O ye who would enter that glorious rest and sing with the ransomed the song of the blessed, the life everlasting if you would obtain, ye must be born again. A dear one in heaven, thy heart yearns to see. At the beautiful gate may be watching for thee. Then list to the note of this solemn refrain. Ye must be born again." And then the refrain says, "I verily, verily say unto thee," that was Jesus' words, "ye must be born again." When you hear the word being born again, does it say anything to you, or does it confuse you as much as it did Nicodemus? Evidently, Nicodemus became a believer of Jesus. Nicodemus was present at his burial. He came with Joseph of Arimathea when Joseph of Arimathea came to get Jesus' body. If he was not a believer in Jesus, at least he was a good friend. But that didn't get him into heaven. His faith in Jesus as his Lord and Savior, as the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one, the one God sent to redeem us, that is what got him into heaven, if he got into heaven, if he is there now. The idea of a second birth is so confusing to so many people. And it was in Nicodemus' day, and it was confusing to him, and he wanted to know the details about it, and it was confusing even in our day. Back in the 70s, when Jimmy Carter was running for president, he proclaimed that he was a born-again Christian, and a lot of people, the news, etc., said, "What does that mean?" Evidently, they didn't know about John chapter 3, verse 1 through 17, or they had not had the experience, or they had used other words for the second birth. Regeneration is one of them. Second birth, new birth, being born again, etc. But it is, maybe, to some people, puzzling. Jesus went into great detail, I think great detail, to explain to Nicodemus that the second birth, or being born again, was something of a spiritual nature. And he said, I've tried to talk to you about earthly things, and you don't even understand that.
He said, you know, how are you going to understand these spiritual things?
Well, hopefully Nicodemus finally did, and some of the Jewish people did understand and believe. All of the 12 were former Jews, or were Jews, and all but Judas became believers. Jesus, in explaining the second birth or the born-again experience, we might even use the word being saved. Saved from sin, saved unto the kingdom of heaven. Ready for Jesus to come back and take us, whether it be as he picks us out to invite us, you know, one at a time. Read the paper today and you'll find many, many people were chosen this past week to go and meet Jesus. They were ready, I hope. I go this afternoon to Cookville to assist in the funeral of a lady I've known for 30 plus years. It was her time Thursday. I believe Carolyn was ready. It's not a joy to go sharing her funeral, but he chose her to go to be with that dear one in heaven, Jesus being one of them, and then her precious husband and her precious mother. I knew both of them. Carolyn Young will go and or went to be with them this past week, and we will celebrate her life and pay her respects this afternoon. But then we may still be living when Jesus comes back on the cloud and calls the dead in Christ, those who have died, calls those dead bodies up. And somehow, mysteriously, it's a spiritual thing. I don't need to understand it. Trust some things to God and to Jesus. Calls those dead bodies up, reunites them with the Spirit. But then, if we are alive and remain when he comes, or we who are alive and remain when he comes, he will translate us, kind of like in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll become heavenly beings, and he'll take us to be with him, that where he is, we may be also. So got to have that spiritual birth for that to happen. If that says he contrasts the spiritual birth to the physical birth. He talks about, you know, some people have been born of flesh. And he uses the word water. He said born of the water. And some people say, oh, that's a reference to baptism. Well, you go back and read it in detail. If you can find that being a reference to baptism, you're better off than I am. And I've had it used for me. It's a reference. Being born of the water is the physical birth. And then, because the next line he talks about being born of the flesh. And you're born of the flesh, natural birth of a person being born into the world. And then Jesus said, if you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven, you're going to have to experience, it's necessary, it's a requirement that you experience a spiritual birth. Twice Jesus said that this spiritual birth, this new birth, or this born-again experience, or this regeneration, that's a good theological word, isn't it? is required for entrance into the kingdom of God. Verse 3, read it. Verse 5, read it. If you get into the kingdom of God, or if you're into the kingdom of God, you've been born of the Spirit. You've had two births. Born naturally, as a little bitty baby. Some of them were big babies. You know, I've heard of 12 pounders. And then maybe 1 pounder. I heard of a 1 pounder the other day. And then born of God, of the Spirit of God. New birth. Born again. Regeneration. Born of the Spirit. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on justification. And since then, I've heard two people at least were listening. I don't know about the rest of you. You never know when you preach, especially when you preach on theological terms, whether people care or not. Whether they listen, whether you mention the word, they turned you off, you hope they do. You go ahead and preach on it, hoping
Though they may not listen, they will know that there's been a prophet amongst them. That's kind of our justification for preaching sometimes, and we wonder if the people even care. I mean, and we know you do, or you wouldn't be here this morning, but sometimes we see some clipping their fingernails, or we hear them, and I used to do this till I was gotten on to a time or two, and I said, don't clip your fingernails in church. Boy, I was about 10 or 12 or 15, you know. Had a new fingernail clipper, and I thought everybody ought to have one, so I wanted to show them. Click, 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 click. You know, you don't know how it sounds. And then the janitor had to vacuum them up if they had vacuum cleaners back then. I guess they did. Anyhow. And then talked about justification. I kind of got off there, did I not? Let me catch up with you. Okay. What is justification? I may have not have said, oh, Andrew came in and talked about it this morning, and Mike, in your prayer last week at the meeting, you mentioned it touched you. So Mike and Andrea, preacher this morning, she heard on television, said the same thing I had said. He must have got it from me because you heard it from me first. Right? I don't know where he got it. I don't know where I got it, but I'd used it before and it wasn't original. But justification, a restoration of a broken relationship. Our relationship with God became broken in Adam, but we have sinned also. So it wasn't just Adam's fault. It's our fault. I've said that over and over and over. We become estranged from God, and because of our sin and our sinful nature. And Jesus came and died on the cross and was buried and rose again and ascended to heaven. And because of His death, burial, and resurrection, we are justified. He overcame the penalty of our sin, death. He came with a new life, and we have opportunity to have new life if we put our faith in that work that Jesus did for us. And it becomes just as if I had never sinned. And I think that's what Andrea heard this morning. So she come in telling me that either I was right on track or he was one. I'm not sure which one. So it's a restored of a broken relationship. We are justified before God, and we're standing before Him. People may remember how we hurt them. People may remember how we turned our back on them and sinned against them and even said bad things about them or to them or cursed them or whatever or hit them. But when we are justified before God, standing before God or in God's presence, He looks upon us just as if we had never sinned. All of our sin is removed, and we're pure and spotless. Not because of our works, but because of our faith in what Jesus did for us. We're claiming that work on the cross and the overcoming that work with the resurrection. We're claiming that as cleansing. Cleansing blood is often referred to. The cleansing power of Jesus Christ. And He cleanses us, and we're standing before God just clean as we can be, without spot or without blemish. That is through our faith in Him. Got to put that faith in Him. And then today the word is regeneration. We've been regenerated. And the definition, a short one, being resurrected from death to life. Basically, justification and regeneration, same thing. Forgiven. Saved. A new life. But let's think about regeneration today. The human condition is, or was, the human condition is that we are spiritually dead unless we have been made alive in Christ. Unless we have been born of the Spirit, unless we have been regenerated. And so the human condition is that we are spiritually dead, or that we were spiritually dead in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, twice, verse 1, Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians talking about when they were spiritually dead. That's before they met Jesus and trusted Jesus, before they heard of Him and before they put their faith in Him and claimed His death as payment for their sin. Verse 5, the same thing. Now, so the human condition is that people are spiritually dead. That is, unless they have been born of the Spirit
or experienced the forgiveness of their sin. But God did not create people to exist in a state of spiritual death. God did not create us just to mill around in this world with no goals, with no guidance from Him, and just mill around from place to place and wonder what we'll do next and how we're going to get through this day and where we will be tomorrow. Will we have anything to feed our bodies with? God created us to live empowered by His Spirit, is one way to put it. God created us to live empowered by His Spirit, or for His Spirit to live in us. Paul said over and over, it is no longer I who live, talking to himself. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And he had surrendered his life to allow Christ Jesus, the resurrected Christ Jesus, in spiritual form, to come and abide in him and live through him. So to be the body through which Christ works in the world. We said it over and over through the years. Christ has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet in the world. He has no spokesperson but us. We are his spokesperson, and he has called on us to let him live through us. And this is what Paul's testimony was over and over. It's not me who's living. I've given up myself. I've surrendered my even personality to Jesus Christ. I used to say, my own testimony, I used to say, in my real arrogant attitude sometimes, that most of y'all have never seen, and maybe you won't have to, but I'd say, well, God gave me this personality, and he just has to use it like he gave it to me. And I'm who I am, and he made me this way. And then somehow it dawned on me. I think he slapped me on the head, see, and said, Larry, I didn't give you that personality. That was the one you picked up from the devil, okay? And he said, the message was, let me change your arrogance. And every once in a while, too often I'm afraid, that arrogant personality, that arrogant spirit comes back and, well, ask Carol about it. And ask my girls about it. And sometimes it's just not right. But what Jesus wants, what God wants, is for me to surrender my personality to Him and let Jesus live through me. Or as the song says, let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. And what a wonderful world it would be if others could see Jesus in me. Always. And what a nice person I would be if I would exemplify Jesus. Let Him speak through me instead of let my carnal nature rise to the top again. And sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. Okay, God created us to live empowered by His Spirit. God came to earth. Yes, God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to save us from ourselves, really. To regenerate us, to make us alive, or to give us new life in Himself. Jesus said it. Not something I've made up. Not just a theological statement. Jesus said it. And He's the one who's the Son of God. Is He not? He is. John chapter 10:10. Say John 10:10. Kind of mark that one. He said that He came to earth that we might have life. Not that we could be dead people walking dead men. He came that we might be alive for Him and for His honor and glory. He came to earth that we might have life. And He said that we might have it, one version says, more abundantly. An abundant life, not just a drudgery life, just kind of getting through. And some people translated that word abundantly. I think that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It says so it would, that your life would be full.
Boy, church life is full, isn't it? Who was it talking about this? I guess it was Mr. Stout in the lesson. Thought he'd retire, he'd have some time to do some things. His life is fuller and fuller. Can't find time to get the important stuff in, he says, you know. That's what I hear over and over and over. But his life is full. Church life is full. I think we've got that part. Meaningful. Now, how meaningful the fullness of life is, hopefully, it's meaningful to me. Hopefully, it's meaningful to God. Jesus came to earth that we might have life and have it abundantly, or their life might be a full life. You know, my life is so empty. Or that my life might be meaningful, and that my life might be meaningful. Regeneration. Regeneration. Think of that word. Regeneration is of God's grace. We sang the song after we confessed our sins. Dead in sin, we confess, and then we sing about it. He touched me. Forgiveness is God's doing. It's not our doing. Forgiveness is God's doing. New life is God's doing. He touched us. He touches us. He touched me. Regeneration is God renewing those who are dead in sin when they come to believe. And it's solely of God's grace. When we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are recreated. We are born again. We are renewed in spirit. Or we are made new persons in Jesus Christ. Well, what's wrong with me like I was? You're always asking me to change. Yeah, Jesus does when we're walking dead people, dead men or dead women. We need to change. We need to come alive, do we not? Regeneration is necessary for eternal life. It's necessary because all persons who are separated from God through Christ, are separated from Christ, are spiritually dead, and we are unable to glorify God of our own strength. We're unable to love God. And our chief purpose is to glorify God. So regeneration is necessary for eternal life. Go back to John chapter 3. Jesus said it twice. Verse 3, and I say verse 5. If you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Regeneration, I think I've said it, but let me say it again. It's a spiritual experience. It's really what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. It's a spiritual matter, Nicodemus. I'm not sure you'll ever understand it, but can you just accept it? Regeneration, or new birth, or being born again, is accomplished by the Holy Spirit revealing to sinners the truth about Jesus, that He is the Savior. How many testimonies have you heard from a Gideon who comes and gives their testimony in the church, and they tell of being ready to just give it up, to kill themselves, really? They get a hotel room and they go in and they're ready to take a bottle of pills or shoot themselves or something. I've heard various testimonies, and they see a Bible laying there that some Gideon has put there, and they pick it up and say, well, maybe if I'm going to kill myself, I need to be a little religious before I do it. Maybe I need to go out with a verse of scripture or something. And they'll pick it up and they'll read it, and it will catch them. And the Holy Spirit of God grabs them and saves them, and they give their life to God, and they in turn become Gideons themselves, making sure that we have access to the Word that tells us about Jesus. The Holy Spirit shows sinners the truth about Jesus, enables the sinners to repent and believe God in the light of that truth, and to receive the saving grace and forgiveness that is provided for us in Jesus Christ. Being generated or regenerated, we are then able to love our neighbor as well as God. And I keep hearing about people getting mad at God. People getting mad and cursing God. I never had the nerve to do that. I was kind of a rebellious person, but not that rebellious. I was always afraid God would strike me down. Whew. I think I love God. I might have been as fearful of God as anything in my early life. But He kept loving me and loved me into loving Him. And the Holy Spirit helped me as I was regenerated, had a new life, had a new heart, new thinking. I could love God and love my neighbor. And I don't have to worry about how bad they are. I can just keep on loving them and just try to love them into the kingdom also. The other thing we want to say is that regenerated are adopted into God's family. When we're born, the second birth, new birth, born again, we're adopted into God's family. The Hebrews, or the Jewish people, some writer says, didn't know anything about adoption. But the Romans did. You get over in the book of Romans, and Paul was ministering to the Romans years after Jesus, 50 years or therefore, and the Romans knew all about adoption. And he wrote concerning being adopted into God's family. He wrote it in a manner that the Romans could understand it, about coming into God's family. It says when you trust Jesus as your Savior and God adopts you into His family. And we somewhat understand what adoption means. So we can, I think, can understand the second birth to a degree, but we can also understand what adoption means. Now, we are regenerated. We are born again. We are made new. We experience the second birth through faith. Maybe that should be a capital faith. Bold letters. Faith in Jesus. But it's not just our faith. We don't want to depend on our faith, but our faith in Jesus. It's Jesus who paid for our sin. John 1:12. He came to his own received him not. But to as many as received him, he gave them the power or the right or the privilege, choose whichever you want, to become the sons of God or the daughters of God, the children of God. Those who would receive him. How do you receive him? Through faith. You invite him into your life. And like receiving that cookie that somebody is offering to us. Receiving. Sometimes we have trouble receiving. No, I don't need that. I'm watching my weight. Well, no, I don't need salvation. Yes, you do need salvation. You may not need the cookie, but you need salvation if you don't have it. So reach out and take it. As many as received him, to them he gave, to all of them he gave the right, the privilege, the opportunity, the blessing of becoming children of God, all who received Jesus. Now, Acts chapter 16, verse 31, Philippian jailer. Earthquake. Jail was broken open. Paul and Silas, they thought, was going to escape, but they were not about to escape. The jailer was about to kill himself. They said, wait a minute, don't do that. And he said, I'm going to die anyway. If I don't kill myself, they're going to make a public spectacle on me, and they're going to kill me out there and embarrass my family. I'll just kill myself. They said, wait a minute. He said, well, what can I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Believe on Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And then Romans 10, 9, and 11, just those verses, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we shall be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask Him the way of salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain, you must be born again. Have you been born again? Heaven, this would be a great time to trust Jesus. Let that Spirit have free reign in your heart and say yes. Say yes to Jesus. I'm trusting you as my Lord and Savior. Nothing in our hand we bring. Simply to the cross we cling. Let's stand together and sing number 342. Just as I am. Just as I am. And waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot or spot. We're just going to trust Jesus. He'll take all the sin away. Number 342, 1 and 5. Maybe yours is a public response that you'd offer this morning to God. We'll meet you here and help you pray through to Him if that be your need. 1 and 5, Ted.